Welcome everyone to our Wednesday, January 21st regular town council meeting at 6:30 p.m. We're at Lot 2 Castle Dollar Drive and also on Zoom tonight. We will do a quick roll call and jump into the meeting. So here at the town hall, we have Town Clerk Jocelyn Buck, myself, Jasmine Duncan, Council Members Perry Holland, Tori Hills, Bob Bryan, and Pamela Gibson. And also here we have Road Supervisor Gorgie Honer, Egmont Honer, and Ron Drake. On Zoom tonight we have Don Grew, Colleen Thompson, Lori Simonson, and Phil Llewellyn. So go ahead and open with open public comment. Hearing none, we'll move on to item two, approval of the minutes, which are still pending. So we'll move into item three, executive reports. John Grew, do you have anything?
Nothing. Not really. I think you all know, or maybe you don't, that we had our first meeting of the Water Advisory Committee. And again, it was good to get back together. We got regrounded in our priorities and it been lasting quite a while because it's now a public meeting and public was there. I was glad to see that. And we received comments and answered questions and did our business. Anyway, I'm just happy that the WAC is back in operation again. Sarah did a great job with the minutes. So I think it's looking pretty promising. Is Obi not there?
Yeah, he's there.
I am here.
Okay, I tried to attend the MOP meeting via Zoom earlier because, I mean, I haven't been to a MOP meeting in a long time, but I saw that, you know, I get the agenda emailed to me, and I saw an item that said that Cash Stallings was going to give his Division of Water Rights perspective on the Castle Valley study. And that was of interest to me, and I tried to connect, and I couldn't connect. A screen came up that said it was waiting for the host to admit me to the meeting. So I never got connected. Were you there, Obi?
Absolutely. You won't like what he had to say either.
Excuse me?
Well, let's hear it.
No, it was, it was actually, I don't know if he's setting a marker, but Cash, in the topic was division perspective on the Castle Valley study.
Right.
Basically, he started out and said, you know, it's not our study. It's UGS's study. We didn't add questions to the study. We like UGS and they're a good organization, but this isn't our study and doesn't necessarily answer the questions we want to. We might have asked. I'm going to summarize it, but it's worth going back and taking a look at what he actually said. He said, well, you know, it's not a losing or gaining. Castle Creek is losing and gaining, and we could have known that for people who've been along the creek for a long time. That might affect make it difficult to know about water priorities. He said nothing else about that. But then he basically said, look, the well levels haven't changed a great deal over time. The water quality hasn't changed a great deal over time. He's only summarizing that water study. I asked the question, I said, but there's less water leaving the valley, maybe 20% less, according to what we know of. He said, there's still water leaving the valley, as if that meant that you aren't really hurting the aquifer. I said, what about water leaving the aquifer and not enough water coming through to keep the salts at bay? He said, well, we deal with water quantity. That's a water quality issue. So That was very disappointing out of Cash. I don't know why he's saying that. Janae Wallace, then, who was online, said, came on and said something like, but the issue in Castle Valley is water quality. That's the issue they have. He did say something, well, you might check with water quality a bit on that issue. And that was about what got said. He was very brief in what he said, but it was not very encouraging. I didn't think of it at the time, but the Division of Water Rights seems to be interested in the wetlands, in on the Moab side, Matheson wetlands, because they want to keep water flowing there to keep the salts at bay. And that's a water quality issue. I didn't think of it at the time, but I think we better be very prepared for our meeting with Cash. He did say, and you may know the second place of this, but he did say, now it is an odd area that we've already put some water restrictions on. I think that'd be Willow Basin. Is that right, John?
Well, they have a restriction on new appropriations. They can't exceed a certain amount. That's been true for a while.
And is there another place? Because he said there were two places already.
I'm only aware of, I'm not aware of any distinction, just that in the Castle Valley watershed, there's a limit on the size of new appropriations, which, of course, we're hoping to reduce further or eliminate altogether. That's a different story. But I'm glad you were there, and I'm glad Janae was there, and you asked good questions.
I'm glad I was there. I'm glad Janae was there. Sarah was also there. And very interesting, I didn't have to introduce her to Cash because she was sitting right by Cash and they were talking before the meeting.
They knew each other from other involvements. I'm like with you. I'm a little bit disheartened to hear that. It sounds to me like they're just kind of hedging their bets against, they're protecting themselves in advance against what the implications of the study might be. Yes. I mean, the study was clear that it's a water quality issue, but it's dependent on water quantity. You can't separate the two in Castle Valley. That if the quantity falls below a certain point, there's potential risk to the quality.
Yes.
He knows this. Anyway, we'll save it for a different day.
Yes.
Okay.
And the only other thing I'd say is I really like the water committee meeting being public. We got a series of questions at the top of it, like, what's this water metering stuff we're talking about, right? And could go into detail, or you've got a sole source aquifer, why aren't any of the agencies protecting you? And you could explain, well, it's really limited protection. In some ways, it's more symbolic. So I like that aspect of the open meeting. The question I'd have for maybe later on is, the PLUC gives us their minutes. I'm wondering, the water committee thing, if we had our minutes, as part of the packet, it would answer many people's questions about what we're doing.
And that, I fully intend to do that.
Yeah.
Good.
And that can help and be part of this report each month.
Yeah.
This first time, Sarah just was running past the draft after you guys. And it wasn't ready for today.
Yes, I do understand that.
Yeah. We're getting started. It's okay.
It's still happening.
I heard you guys have more people than we do at Arby.
Oh. That's because we're more.
That's true, actually.
I have one more people one ask more questions.
How many people showed up?
Were there
at least seven or eight?
Seven or eight people, yeah.
What's Cash's title again?
I'm just trying to remember. So he is the. Let me just see if I forgot the exact title. I said, he is the, regional director. Whoops. Maybe he's the regional engineer from the Utah Division of Water Rights for the Southeast Utah region. I can't remember if it's director or engineer.
Engineer.
Okay, good.
Yes, he's the regional engineer for the Price District, which is pretty much all of southeastern Utah. I have one more question, Obi. Did I understand you correctly in your opening comments about the MOP meeting that Cash was saying, well, it's not our study, it's UGS's study, and did I hear you say that he was saying that the Division of Water Rights didn't have much input into it?
He said we didn't ask any of the questions. He said we did consult before, and they edited the study like other people did too. They looked at the study afterwards, but said it wasn't our study. And that
technically, it certainly was not their study. And I won't waste everybody's time now going over this, but we had considerable input from them. In the wake of the Colm study, Jazz was there, other people were there. They said we need to know more about this and this and this, and we had a peer review done, and that all led up to the water budget study. So I think he's just kind of
I'd say the questions that we asked were because of the questions that they had.
He would have said, John, that it answered some questions for him, but it was very much like they weren't questions they had asked. I know they had asked them in a different form,
Thank you for going to that mock meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And again, I my take on that is that he's just kind of sort of preparing to the implications of it and kind of sort of keeping his distance for his own reasons. But
I would say only one more thing. John, if you were to contact Cash, do actually look at what he actually said. I gave a summary, and I hope it's fair to him, but it's the impression I got out of what he said.
Well, okay. Doing
a little bit knee-jerky?
What?
Might have been a little knee-jerky. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think it was the message he was giving is this really doesn't tell us
what they want.
What they need to actually do some closing. I think that's roughly the message to us.
Well, again, I think he's just that's a preemptive defense, but it damn well does, and he has said otherwise at other times.
Agreed.
So the MOP meetings are recorded, are they not?
Yeah, they are recorded now, so you should be able to get a recording of it.
I would like to get a recording of it and actually see for myself or hear for myself what was said.
Yeah, and Colton should be able to tell you that, Lay.
Okay. Again, I just think this is kind of preemptive defense on his part, as much as anything. And I understand why he's going to take that position, but it's the study that it is a study they wanted. I know that. So enough said.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Road department report. Any questions about happenings?
Okay. Yeah, well, I was just curious about resurfacing the connector. That's that little, resurfacing it.
It needs graded.
It's grading.
And then you get up to the top.
We'll build those walls near the top.
Kind of get the rail and then head up that little.
I didn't know about that. Yeah, it was pretty bad the last time.
That's right.
And I also. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people actually still use the asphalt.
Well, the people will, but not everybody.
One of the other reasons is, I cannot put the road closed ahead sign on the loop road, like the actual diamond sign. So I need to put that on Castle Valley Drive, which means that people will potentially be heading down that way and then need to divert off. Which, of course, they could either turn around or take that, but we want to have it ready for that potential use.
And how is Schaefer looking?
Pretty good. There's a few touch-up spots that we'll be covering over the weekend and things like that.
What ones? Which is for
you? Probably right around Jeff's place, because that is pretty silty and sandy and will deteriorate over time.
And that's where that...
Over that culvert there. We'll probably be doing a little bit on the first bit of Schaefer, especially between Placer and the one before it, because that's potholing of it, things like that.
Sure. Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
And great. We'll be looking over it almost every day.
planning and land use, Ryan Anderson will be the water advisory committee member from the planning commission.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I meant to put that actually.
Yeah.
At the time, we were excited that Ryan was there, and he added really good information and back and forth about, for instance, maybe they'd want to use this as a test case and fund some of our monitoring stuff up with the state. He's very good about thinking about going to the state and telling our story and seeing what we can get. So that's interesting.
Well, he was a good advocate like that.
Yeah.
Any other questions about any of that? Anything, Pamela, from the Utah Renewable?
Are we still on the, have we left the funding and land use?
Sorry, if you're not asking questions fast, I'm just moving on.
When I was looking through the building permits, and I look, I recognize that address. What about that? This says Bell DX. Well, I had to search all over. I would suggest that instead of other, I never like miscellaneous and other. Because, so if just changing that to make that the LAD, and then description of what it is. I'm sure everything's gone through everybody, and it's all cool, but it's just.
If you don't know what it is.
Don't know what it is.
Colleen, did you catch that?
Yes, I did, even though the town council approved the land disturbance activity stuff last year.
Not in the report. It's just the report.
I know. That's a good thing. I have a personal thing about defining acronyms anyway. So that's, thank you.
Thanks, Colleen.
Not a criticism.
But if you were just looking at the meeting packet and you didn't know.
So I figured it out.
And did you want to go ahead?
We met on the first Monday. And that's after the Public Service Commission meeting, and they were hoping by the end of this month, which, yeah, right. I'm expecting, I believe, sometime in February, because they've got a lot of stuff going on.
So maybe like this year.
Yeah, but this year for sure. This year for sure, but just looking to when. Then we've got 90 days,
right? Which is what I keep looking for.
And we don't know what they're going to do. I mean, we've put in what we want, and they might say, it'll be a lot different. So, but we don't anticipate that. But looking at maybe having something by March.
Okay. Great.
And also, Diane Ackerman kindly offered to help with, because I'm on the committee for the low income plan, and it's meeting with people that can contact people and let them know about the program, and it's all to keep the numbers higher up so people don't opt out.
Right.
Because then it
falls. Or she's going to help you out with that.
Well, yes, with that whole, I'm not sure. It's meeting with organizations like United Way, helping with low income, letting people know the side effect of letting everybody know, but advising people that, hey, there is a program and we can give, you can get a credit, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So anyway, thank Diane Ackerman for doing that. That's cool.
Yeah. Thanks, Diane. Yeah. All right. Ryan, do you have anything from the fire district?
I think so. It's very quiet.
Yeah. Of course, Fire District is thinking about this road closure as well, and we'll be staging different engines at Station 1. So that's probably another thing that we should think about. If there is an emergency, how we're going to do traffic control on Schaefer during an emergency.
It should be full two lane. But
sort of.
The lane width is 20 feet in pretty much every spot, and the one spot is going to be changed this weekend. So.
Okay.
And where is that?
8 foot is bare minimum for a lane, so 16 foot road width would be your minimum to have technically two lanes. We essentially have this pretty much 20 feet in all points.
This, I mean, with emergency traffic,
yeah,
you have two lanes, but if your emergency guys are behind you,
well, it's going to be the same situation where we'd have to call law enforcement for it.
Right. That's, understanding that you're thinking that, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just curious, I mean, what you said, it's pretty much 20 feet everywhere except one place, and you're going to take care of that. What's that one place?
Essentially where the green gate is. We're going to temporarily take the post out that mm-hmm. the green gate swings into.
That's a good idea.
So it's actually two lane.
Yeah.
And then once the road needs to be closed again, we'll reinstall the post. So.
Of course, it's not that big. I got that. A concrete culvert.
No, that's also getting wet, so.
Oh?
We're putting a bit more dirt over that everything as well. So I did check it with the Grand County School Bus driver today, Laura. So it's all good there, and pretty much anything up to that length should be fine as it is right now, but we'll still be.
Great. She'd have to do her time grind.
Yes. Cool. Might be saving her some time, actually.
There's somebody.
That's too funny. After all that.
Okay. Anything else, Ron?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Colleen, did you have anything?
Yeah. Just briefly, the town email was partly down this morning for a half hour, an hour, I guess, but it got better. And, the water committee people all have their own email address, and the only person I haven't heard back yet from is Obi about whether you've managed to log into that. So
I am on it, and I forgot to get back to you, but you gave me the good reminder, so I bit the bullet and got on it about 2 days ago.
Great, thanks.
You have a second email address?
So the committee can be, it's on the same same thing, but it's a different way of logging on. So rather than our Castle Valley, Utah, blah, blah, blah stuff, it's got something in front of that. Then you can log on to the water committee section of it, and it has a different password.
It's like a single email for the water committee.
It's water TC.
Yeah.
Okay.
As opposed to water plucked. So that if the people in the positions change, they
I see.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes. And my password's different than other people.
Okay. Got it. Thanks, Colleen. Tori, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for how many years has it been now?
Feels like a long time.
Well, it is a long time.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was 2008 or 2010.
I'm just not sure people understand how much money you saved this town, honestly.
So. Well, it was, what, $3,000 a month for our
payroll?
For Lawson's. That was ridiculous.
And I think the town needs to think about that and the fact that could happen again when we don't have someone like you in your position. We may need to budget for that in the future. Thank you.
You're welcome.
After we get through this treasurer's report and correspondence, also under administrative, your deputy. I'm kind of hoping that he wants to remain the deputy treasurer.
I'll keep doing it. I didn't realize I was the deputy.
I'll keep
signing checks, aren't you?
I am.
Okay, well then.
Then I'm the deputy.
You're the deputy.
But I do want the badge.
We have to get badges.
We'll get one.
Thank you. I want mine bigger than his. It will be.
Yeah, it'll have to be. Yours is the gold. Or points.
I don't need the gold.
Anyone have questions about the treasurer's report? Any questions about the quarterly? Or is it the quarterly?
Yeah, it is the quarterly.
We're at the half year.
A half year quarterly.
Did you see it?
No.
No. You better look at it.
The only thing that really went over, like I said, was our because of how much we spent last year. So we jumped to a different tier of auditing, which...
And it's going to be more
this
year, like probably 12,000
for the audit?
Yes. With this level of project? Yes. So we'll have to amend that when we get to that.
Well, that'll be next year, though.
Yeah,
we'll do it at the end of the year.
Right. We'll have to budget
next
for that.
September. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have any correspondence?
Not really, no. I think everything, no.
Okay. So administrative matters, Harry is going to remain the deputy treasurer. Our water budget study presentation will be Tuesday, February 24th at 6:30 p.m. Do we have any town letters anyone wants to talk about? Our open meetings training is due by February 15th. So go back onto your portal where you do that. Spend your 10 minutes. Send your certification to Jocelyn.
Quick question.
Yes.
At the Planning Commission meeting for the county, they showed the presentation, the open meeting thing, and Andrew, who's now head of planning, said he'd check with the state, he's going to certify that everybody was there, and we would pass. I don't have to take a second time, do I? And I have to do one for the county, one for the
If you can get your certification through that.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Just make sure we get it.
Okay.
Yeah, and you'll need to send yours to your board, the Economic Opportunity Board, your cert. Make sure when you send it to Jocelyn and also to Chris.
Okay.
Because it's required for all of our boards.
Okay.
Yeah. And how many minutes did it take us? Probably about six.
Yeah, it doesn't take very long. So that's for everybody on the board, isn't it?
Everybody.
Yeah. Well, I need to.
Every year. Board everybody every year. Yes.
Because you get 100% in 6 months.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's.
Five questions. It's the same five questions every year.
Every year. Oh.
You can take it as many times as you need.
Can you? I've never had to take it more than once. How did you find that out?
I have no comment.
Okay. Okay. The Wildland Urban Interface Mapping, so you can see from the park minutes that I talked to the Planning Commission about that so that they could give us a recommendation for our next meeting on what our Wildland Urban Interface Map might be, should maybe be. Of course, their recommendation, it doesn't have to be what we adopt, but that's our process when it comes to a land use thing, that we get a recommendation from them. We don't have to have anyone in our wildland urban interface map. We adopt the code, and then it's up to us to create a map, which creates a zone where that code is applied. So it's up to us who we want to have in that zone, basically.
Why are they leaving it up to the municipalities to make a map?
Because it's our thing.
I mean, we don't have that expertise, really.
Yeah. Not necessarily. Yeah. I mean, they've offered tools. They obviously have, you know, the mapping that they just did when they did the assessments on properties that they'll be assessing fees for. So, but they said it doesn't need to map.
Isn't the whole valley just low? So there would be no fees?
So
that's
what
I thought. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like a low. Their maps are confusing.
Great.
They're not, it's not all low. If you go address by address, you'll get a more detailed, I started pulling addresses and, I mean, I found some, like at the end of Rimshadow, I believe it was, on the east side, might have been high. But then some next to them were like moderate or low. You know, yeah, it's a strange system. But and it doesn't need to match their map. Their map, we can use as a tool, but it does not need to match their map. So I did do their training, and one of the big points that stuck out to me from that training was that this was, it really felt like it was the purpose and intent of this and having municipalities and counties do this WUI mapping was to prevent these house-to-house fires that you get when wildland meets earth, right? So, yeah, we have wildland and we have structures, but we don't have house-to-house-to-house-to-house. Like, we have large lot sizes with pretty large setbacks, and we don't really have people right next to each other. So our density being that low makes me feel like putting somebody in a zone like that when it would really only be them that they're harming. I don't know if you want to impose those extra requirements on people.
It seems like it should be a scientific thing. I mean, they've got all those tools, you know, like structure. If the structures are dense, then the fire probability goes up. I mean, they've got all those layers that they use. So why would we just come up with our own? Because, I mean, we know, you know, a little bit about fire behavior, but we're not a scientist. We don't know what the data really shows.
Well, yeah, we do, because we have their tools. That
so we could use their tools.
Use science. And just use the data to be created. So, but they also said that we don't have to, because if we were going to make a WUI map where we only included the high danger properties that they put on their map, our map is going to be like this weird wonky thing.
Mm-hmm.
That also doesn't include vacant lots, because their high property only are assessed on properties that have taxable structures. So WUI code applies to new construction. So you're basically talking about lots and areas where you want to have this any new development comply with the wildland urban interface building codes. Does that make sense? Because it doesn't apply to your house that you already built.
Mm-hmm.
So aren't they trying to get all new buildings in the interface with compliant to the building standards?
If we want them to be. If we want them to be in a WUI zone, that's up to us. Yeah.
Well, I thought that was their whole. They left us behind doing this.
They've left that up to us.
What was the map they gave us to just have the big red blobs down in the lower part of the valley? What was it? Was in one of Bruce's
in our packet?
Yeah.
That's different.
That's different.
Yes.
And then they had the one that was like low risk in the valley altogether.
Yeah.
And that's different too.
Yeah, and that's like what we're finding on too tonight. Are looking at.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing.
Mm-hmm.
To say the least.
Yeah. So we could just arbitrarily, if we wanted to, we could come up with our own WUI criteria and just pick certain lots that we determine are WUI and high danger. Seems kind of arbitrary.
Yeah.
But that's why I wouldn't suggest we do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's strange they leave that up to us when it seems like such an important thing to.
Then, like, they mandated it to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
May I take Colleen's question?
Yeah.
Colleen, did you have a question? Colleen, your hand is raised. Is it on purpose?
I'm trying to unmute, sorry.
There
we go. I was confused from your presentation at our meeting. Is this right? The state map that's going to be used to assess fees is separate from our own WUI map, which will be used to possibly impose building codes.
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
And what would the liability implications be if we, for example, made the whole thing low risk and then somebody's house burnt down? Would we have
that's
any
liability? That's not a question I can answer.
Okay. I just wanted to bring it up. Thanks.
Sure. I think it's the same risk that you have right now if your house burns down.
Right.
And it's not like enforcing wildland urban interface building code is going to prevent your house from burning down either. It might lower your risk.
Would it change the insurance?
Yeah, I'm not sure about. But the state law has made some requirements of insurance. House Bill 48.
They're now doing satellite pictures quite frequently, and they already know if you have that tree right next to your house. And if you do, and they say you say it's 30 feet, they're not going to insure anything.
Yeah.
So if you own your house, you can save yourself $2,500 a year, and because they're not going to cover you anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Keep your insurance, or you know,
could have a island tree. I have more.
But is it 30 feet?
It's close to your house.
Yeah. There you go.
It's been living off of the sewer.
Well,
for 30 bucks a year.
Volunteer.
Yeah, cut it down.
I have a volunteer next to that.
No, this was planted. They planted it next to.
I didn't do it on purpose, but it's there.
We didn't do it, but they did.
So if we designated, say, a certain lot and maybe a new house as WUI, would that affect those guys' insurance? Would that be just another, you know, satellite image and all that, but then if the town is actually designated at a high risk.
I don't think our WUI map has anything to do with insurance providers. The insurance providers may be more linked to the state's assessment than our.
But they could look at our map.
I don't even think they do have anything to do with the state. It's all about what you've said on your insurance, whether or not they'll cover the claim or not.
So you could go and read House Bill 48 from last year and try to understand more than what I'm able to really tell you about the insurance part of it.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's coming next month. Jocelyn wanted to do some update on record retention shredding.
Yes. So I did this huge project where I took 10 years of accounts receivable and payable and time cards and da-da-da-da-da from 2002 to 2012. And I went through it all and I got rid of all of it. But I took 60 pounds of it to the shredder in Grand Junction. And I just really just wanted everybody to know that there is a certified shredding company that works in Grand Junction, and it was like $10 a box so $20 for 60 pounds of shredding. So anyways, I just wanted everybody to know that if you have shredding, you just go in there. And
that would have saved me a lot of time.
With your sisters.
Actually, I just burned it, but I had to sort through all the stuff and make sure I was getting all, you know, because I just recycled what I could.
Right.
But I had to go through it and pull.
That's what I did for like 3 days here in the last, as I went through, and I had probably 4 or 5 boxes I just took to the
recycle.
But then I took out all the bank statements and anything that had personal Social Security numbers and blah, blah, blah. And that's those boxes, the ones I took over there. Yeah, most of them. Anyway.
Any other administrative matters?
Please your hand up.
John.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know a place in Grand Junction that I only caught part of that conversation, but that does certified secure shredding and then takes the shreds to the recycle center. Here. Okay, sorry. Like I said, I missed part of the conversation.
Right on. Okay. Moving along. New business. Item 6. Discussion and possible action regarding approval of the cooperative agreement with the Utah Division of Forestry, Fire, and State Lands. So we have technically been participating in this since it happened. through the fire district. But they're insistent now that we be the signatory on this agreement. That's
and
the
not
way,
the fire district.
Yeah, that's the way the House bill was set up. The municipalities are should be the actual participating entity.
Even though we don't tax for them.
Right. But we cooperate with them to get this job done. Obviously, there are things in this agreement that we're not going to do, but the fire district does. And that's why it's a cooperative agreement.
I did have one question on that, though. It says 2017.
Yeah,
I didn't like that. I was like,
January 1, 2017.
Should we put
that? Can you repeat that?
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a reason that this copy of this thing that came through to us said 2017? Have they ever updated that?
I just think that they probably just pasted. Cut and paste, and forgot to change that.
It says 2017 a couple different places.
And if you go to the very bottom, it has this description of something from somewhere else, and so I don't know.
Well, I think on your signed copy, I should just put a line through it and put the correct date.
Yeah, I think that sounds good.
And then this one, you do the back of.
Right.
And it's good to go.
Now, this one's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And was that, Rita, was that, did they need both of those from us? Or just the stuff that you filled out?
Just the stuff that we filled out.
So that, they didn't need that 2017 one from us anyways?
No, they just need that one that's got that has what the projects we are going to do
next year.
And
that year. Makes way more sense then.
Okay.
We'll get that to him tomorrow.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
So the fire department has been doing the reporting on this. Are you all right with us to keep going on the reporting every year, or do you want to take it on?
I think that part of the cooperating agreement would be that you could continue to do those things because we're not capacity, really.
Okay, yeah. Great.
That's great.
Is that all right?
That's great. Yeah.
Of course, hopefully that you can turn that over to somebody else now.
Yep, I'm going to do that.
Thank you, Lita.
Yeah, thank you.
So I guess just so I understand, so the town has taken on the responsibility of, like it says, responsibility for wildfire suppression and bearing the financial burden for the wildfire.
We've always had it.
We've always had that?
Yeah.
And how would that show itself? What would the town do? Where would we have to pay?
If this cooperating agreement wasn't in place and these things weren't being met, right? And then that would incur a cost at some point.
So the town's not really taking on more responsibility than
we already have. No.
So we don't have to make sure that the fire district is up to speed with training. They talked a lot about training.
I mean, that's part of the deal.
Yeah.
So I guess, if the state comes to us and says, you're no longer valid because your cooperating agency, the fire district, isn't training and doesn't have any certified firefighters anymore.
But that's not our responsibility.
Our responsibility. Essentially, the House bill says it is.
So we wouldn't have to have oversight on the fire district.
Having those conversations. Go ahead, Lita.
So in all the years that we've been participating in this, we've never not met our requirements. This, the,
2025 was the closest we came, but we made it, we did it. But 2026, there is zero requirement this year. So $0 are expected. But we still plan to do the things that we plan to do. But we don't have to meet any monetary requirements.
And as long as we keep our fires to zilch, that will continue to be the way, because this monetary amount is based on this averaging of fires.
Yep. One other thing was the question, I still haven't gotten a straight answer from the state about the district. Does not just include the town, the district includes outside of the town.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. And how does that get covered? I guess it just gets covered through the county.
It would have to, because it can't be covered by us.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get one.
Well, I did notice, Rita, that they removed some of those fires. And I think the reason this agreement here is at zero is because they removed the fires that were outside of the town.
Right. Yes. This is just the town's boundaries.
Yeah. Which made me think they had already considered that and realized that the town can't be responsible for the county's fires.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And would we be responsible for the BLM land within the town boundary? Or is that BLM's responsibility?
No, no.
Federal lands are federal responsibility.
Yeah.
This is about state.
And private.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that your understanding of this as well, Lita?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, y'all.
Yeah, we have to vote on it, though.
I will move that we approve the cooperative agreement with the Utah Vision of Forestry, Fire, and State Lands.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. I am seven.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One more thing.
Okay.
I think Tori should get a really big badge too. Thank you for your service.
Okay, mine's going to be the biggest.
It will have points on it.
Definitely.
Eight points.
10 points.
Yeah.
Okay. You did your test?
I could just say 0.5 or something.
Okay.
Oh, you should do 8.
Can I do it?
All right, you guys.
If you got 10, I'll take it.
I have 7.
Good night.
Good night. Discussion and possible action regarding approval of the 2.8% COLA increase. So we try to keep this in line with what Social Security does.
Yeah. I move that we approve the 2.8% COLA increase for all our wonderful, hardworking employees.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
We do not need a closed meeting. We'll move to item 10, payment of the bills. I don't
hope so. I move we pay the bill.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
And that's it. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, less.
Look at that.
49 minutes.
Well, yeah. We could have talked longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a few more minutes, please.